Brilliant. So it's really, really good to see you here this evening. It's a joyous occasion. It's a triumphant occasion. I've just got a few things to say before we kick off the service. Firstly, very, very warm welcome. All visitors are really, really welcome here this evening. Lots of family and friends of both Josh and Chris. It's lovely to see you here. Afterwards, there's going to be refreshments in the hall out the back. So do hang around, have a chat with people. It'd be lovely to get to know you better. The first thing to say, actually, is during the baptism, can I invite children, if you'd like to come and have a better look in the aisle to my right here on the floor, that's allowed. But please don't get too near. That's happened before, and it's not official either. So don't get any ideas. Also, if you'd like to take photos, please do. This is not a superstitious event. Just take photos if you'd like. That's really, you're most welcome to do that. And we've got it recorded on the screen, so hopefully you won't miss out if you haven't managed to come to the front to get on the floor to watch it personally. We're going to start by singing this evening a great song. It talks about the firm foundation that we have in the person of Jesus Christ. In the Bible, often it talks about tragedies coming, times in our lives where we struggle, and the term "shaken" is used in those times. And what the Bible describes as the person who is in Christ is a person who is unshakable. Their foundation is on Jesus. He is immense. He is awesome. He's personal. He's loving. And when we have a relationship with him, whatever we go through, whether they're trials or hardships, our foundation is secure. That's who we believe in. That's who we trust in. We're going to stand and sing a great song. If you don't know it, honestly, don't worry. Mime if you need to. But the church will carry us. Let's stand and sing of this person of Jesus Christ. How firm a foundation, you saints of the Lord. Let's stand together.
In every
Please do take a seat. Now, in a second, we're going to baptise Chris and Josh. What we're going to do before that is ask them to share how they became Christians. But before that, I'm going to just explain very quickly what baptism is and what it's not. Well, baptism is three things, really. Firstly, it's a sign of repentance. Before Jesus came, there was a guy called John the Baptist, and he preached a message that said, do you know what? In front of God, we all let him down. And when we get to know and recognize that, the best thing to do is talk to God and say sorry. And that's what this is all about. This is an act that says, do you know what, guys? Publicly, Chris and Josh have let God down. And they're sorry. Isn't that cool? That's what this says. It also says it's a public confession. So they're saying, actually, do you know what? We've let God down and we're sorry. And I'm going to say that publicly. These guys are not perfect. They're not gorgeous in any way. Okay. Don't shoot the messenger. But, you know, they are standing here and they're just confessing, do you know, I have let God down. I'm sorry. And asking and showing to everyone that they've asked God to forgive them. And actually what happened, the picture of this pool is simply this. Once they were people who rejected God, and now they are people who love God. Once they lived an old life, and now they live a new life. They are alive to God. That's what this pool signifies. So it's a lot of symbolism. But it's also a sign of discipleship. So in doing this, you know, Jesus tells us in the Bible to go and baptize and preach the good news to all the world. And so Christians, when they are baptized, they're just doing what Jesus tells us to do. And so we are saying, do you know what? I follow Jesus. So there's nothing special about the water. There's no holy water in there. There's spiritually, these guys are not moving before God in any way by being baptized. This doesn't make them a Christian. It simply confirms and publicly declares that they are Christians. And it says, I follow Jesus. I hope that helps. I hope that kind of clears up some of the mystery around baptism. But I'm going to ask Chris and Josh now to come and share their testimonies, to tell you how they came to this point of being baptized. So Chris, can you come up and just share with everybody how you became a Christian?
Bear with me. So I'm more than slightly terrified. So I moved to Caterham about 3 years ago. I've been coming to Oak Hall for over a year now. And before that, Caterham Baptist Church, and before that, I had not been going to church for some time. I'll come back to that. I was brought up in a Christian home. I have a mum, a dad, a brother. My parents are awesome. They taught us and raised us as best they could with the love of Lord Jesus in their hearts and minds. Sorry. Unfortunately, due to whatever reason, personality or just a natural rebellion, I stopped going to church from about 12 to 13. I was late diagnosed with ADHD, so was impulsive and hyperactive. I considered life utterly boring and almost always needed some sort of buzz or fix, whatever you want to call it. This led to me dabbling in cannabis and alcohol from about 13. I continued on this fairly destructive path until I was about 18. by which point I'd got myself into quite a lot of trouble. I dropped out of sixth form college, got a pretty hefty alcohol addiction and debilitating social anxiety from the drugs I was smoking. I tried giving up and changing my life, but could not do it. And because I'd closeted myself away in my room for so long, I had relatively few friends and was too paranoid to get on a bus and sometimes to leave my room. I slipped into depression and felt like I had no hope and that life was basically hell. So a low point, obviously. So my mum and dad started going to a new church, and my mum suggested going on an alpha course. I did, armed with a flask of strong drink and quite a lot of weed. This, at the time, was the only way I felt I could face people. I quickly found the people there to be super welcoming, friendly and real. And it was at this point that God started working my heart and I slowly started to come to church services. I have to be completely honest, my memory at this point is awful. So I can't quite remember the turning point. All I know is that God wooed me. I got the message. I understood that the perfect man, Jesus, God incarnate, became the ultimate sacrifice and died for me, conquering death and sin so that I could be saved. Praise God. I made the commitment of faith in a church member's house with a small group of Christians that had been supporting me and talking to me about Jesus since I'd been going to the church. I have never in my entire life felt anything like what I felt on that day. I felt absolutely washed clean, like a spiritual shower. I even felt a lot of the shame that I put my parents through melt off me. Anyway, a friend called Helen, who's here today, dropped me off home, and according to my mum and dad, I was positively glowing. I think it was particularly emotional for them, as they had had to see me come through the door for years with rather glazed, lifeless, dead eyes. What a turnaround. Praise God. Over the next few years, God worked on things that had been paralysing me before. The social phobia, the super addictive personality, and was helping me to bear fruit. It was a great time in my life. I found joy in living for the Lord, a joy that I never got from anything else that this earth has to offer. Unfortunately, as time went by, I'd started to get very legalistic with myself. Those that know me well know that I'm an all-or-nothing person. I can't do things in half measures. So I basically beat myself up for every sin that I committed, whether it be a swear word or a moment of lust. I set a ridiculously high standard of what I thought a Christian should be and basically couldn't live up to it. No surprise there. This is probably the stupidest thing I've ever done in my life, and I've done a lot of stupid things. Caused me to completely backslide and end up in almost the same nightmare that I was in before. I had failed to see or remember that I'm not good enough. I'm a sinner. There is only one perfect person, and that is the Lord Jesus. Basically, I've forgotten about grace. Completely forgotten about grace and focus on myself. Anyway, for a good few years, I ran away again. I could hear the Holy Spirit calling out to me. My friends saying, "Chris, come on, what are you doing?" but to my shame I ignored them. So about 3 years ago, I found myself deeply unhappy, having realised for the second time there is no true joy apart from relationship with Jesus. This prompted me to go back to church. I tried a few different churches. I didn't feel quite at home. And then I came to Oak Hall, and I felt that's where God wanted me to be. Slowly God wooed me back, worked in my heart. I realised what a complete and utter fool I had been. And yet the Lord welcomed me back with open arms. His mercy, his forgiveness, grace, indescribable. It literally takes my breath away. I think now I finally understand grace, and that true joy is only found in love and relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm done running, so that's it.
Thanks, Chris. That's such an encouragement. We have a book for you, and we have a verse as well we'd like to share with you. The book is Disciplines of a Godly Young Man by a guy called Kent Hughes. It's a real blessing. I've read this, and it's a real reminder of what it is to follow the Lord Jesus. And our verse is from Isaiah 66, verse 2, and it says this: "These are the ones I look on with favour, those who are humble and contrite in spirit, and who tremble at my word." Josh.
Good evening. So I've got sort of a not as extravagant story as Chris. I've been brought up in Oak Hall my entire life, 17 years, raised with fabulous parents and a brother. I'm kidding, you're all right. Went through Sunday school, did all of that, answering all the questions first hand up. Thought I knew all the answers from a very early age. And I was quite young, I think, when I became a Christian. I've got the date. It was the 7th of August 2011. And it was, there he is, one of Leggy's talks. I don't remember what it was on, I'm sorry. But something just clicked on that day, and I sort of remember seeing God for who he truly was and what he had done for me and everyone around me. And we did the prayer. I raised my hand afterwards to say I became a Christian. And it gave me such joy. I remember running around the entire church just telling anyone I saw, "Hey guys, I became a Christian." And it was just such a joy time in my life. But there have been two significant events in my life since that have shaped me. The first was in 2013, and I woke up one morning and couldn't move my legs. Don't know why, no one know why, but I couldn't move my legs, just absolute pain. So I was living downstairs for about 3-4 months, quite a dark time. Didn't know what to do. I'm 13 at the time, so I haven't got much to do, just the same TV shows repeating on the telly. But what got me through that was, I remember about 2 months in, I remember Dan Hubbard and Giles, there he is, they came over to my house. Quite a surprise, I wasn't expecting them. But they came over with a big bag of sweets, which brought a smile onto my face. And we sat down, we just talked the entire day, did some prayer. And that really encouraged me. It really got me through, because I realised that God had sent them for a reason to talk to me, and encourage me that it wasn't over. And after the fourth month, it was healed. No one knows why. Doctors still don't know why. I'm still meant to go back for blood tests, but I don't do that. And the second was when my dad's mum was diagnosed with cancer. That shook the entire family. We all didn't really know what to do. It was a long year of treatment and going back to the doctors. Everyone's sort of quite sad in our family. And as time went on, we all bundled together. We all went over quite regularly, met up with them, talked it through. And she was quite down for a lot of it, but we, with the strength of God, were able to sort of encourage her and keep her going through it. And after that year, she was cancer-free, which was brilliant. So those are some of the things I feel have shaped me as a person. But I experienced the pain and suffering firsthand. And in times where people would think there is no God, it gave me confidence that there was. And we can see the impact on lives and events that I've lived through. A reason I decided to get baptised was also of those two. But it's also just other little experiences I've had in my life. So at my mum's parents' church, there's a lovely couple that I met earlier on today called Andy and Gwen. And over my GCSE period, I was partnered up with them and they would pray for me. I'd never met them before. I only met them like 20 minutes ago. But it gave me encouragement because I knew that even though I hadn't met these people, that they were still praying for my success, which baffled me because I couldn't understand why they would go out of their way to pray for someone they'd never met before. But it really encouraged me and I got through it at the end. And that was a part of my life that I am quite thankful for. I'm just going to end there. I'm just going to recite one line from a song that has stuck with me. It's a Christian song, and the lyric is quite relevant for today. Is "So here I am, lifting up my heart to the one who holds the stars."
And Josh, we also have a book for you. It's called "This Changes Everything." It's written by a teenager for teenagers. And we have a verse as well, and it's two verses, Psalm 119 verse 9 and 105, and they say, "How can a young man stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path." We're going to come to the baptisms themselves. Children, if you want to come and carefully set yourself down here at the front. And then, Chris, you're going to go first.
Chris, it's a real joy to have you in the water with us today. I'm going to ask you a few questions and then we'll baptise you. So firstly, Chris, have you accepted Christ as your Saviour, who has died in your place and taken away your sin?
Certainly.
Chris, are you following him as your Lord, the highest authority in your life?
I am.
And will you, in his strength, seek to keep the faith till he returns?
I will.
Great. Well, then on your confession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God.
Yeah.
phone that watches a lot?
Yeah, it watches a lot. It's very...
Okay. You okay?
Yeah.
Right, same questions, Josh, for you. So, Josh, it's a real privilege to baptise you today. Firstly, I'm going to ask, have you accepted Christ as your Saviour, who has died in your place and taken away your sin?
I have.
Josh, are you following him as your Lord, the highest authority in your life?
I am.
And Josh, will you, in his strength, seek to follow him and keep the faith till he returns?
Definitely will.
And then on the confession of your faith, we baptise you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God.
You know, throughout history, Christians have been known to sing, and we sing because of the joy of Christ. We're going to stand and sing of this great person of Jesus, the one who has saved us, and as we sing, we're going to praise him together. We're going to sing, "Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God." Let's stand and sing.
Thank you.
do take a seat. In a few minutes, Dan is just going to basically explain a bit of the Bible to us. And the verses that he's chosen are short but really punchy. And they teach us about what it is to be a Christian. They're from a book in the Bible called Colossians. That was written to a church in Colossae. Very original, but there we go. Colossians. It's chapter 2 and it's verses 6 and 7. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. And let me read them for you. It says this. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. I'll read it again once more. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Well, Chris and Josh are just still getting changed, so we're going to sing another song now about our thankfulness to the God who has given us this great faith, this great work. Let's stand again once more and give thanks to the Lord. Seat. And before Dan comes to speak to us, let's just pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that we've heard so far today about the good news of Jesus, that he saves, he heals, he reconciles, he renews us. Lord, we thank you for the testimonies that we've heard. We thank you for the witness it's been of these two young guys to be baptized, to publicly confess that they are sinners in the hands of a loving God. Father, we thank you for your love that you've lavished upon them. We thank you for the love that you lavish upon all who trust in you to deal with their sin and give them eternal life. Lord, as we hear these short verses explained to us this evening. Lord God, may you help us understand it so that we might have a relationship with you, or a deeper relationship with you. Lord God, we pray all these things for your glory's sake and in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Well, good evening. Please keep, if you've got a Bible open, keep it open in front of you. If you've got a Bible app on your phone, then keep that open as we look at these two very short verses together. Well, American football, either you think it's a fantastic, fast, entertaining sport, or either you think it's maybe a softer version of rugby. Whatever you think, you know, I love watching American football. I've got really into it. And if you haven't got the first clue of what American football is or what the rules are, then the idea is very simple. To get the football into the touchdown area, which is at the other end of the field, and you've got to try and get past the opposition to do that. And this usually involves the main guy on the team, the quarterback, throwing the ball to the other guy on the team, usually a guy called a wide receiver, and he would catch the ball and then try and make his way to this touchdown area to score. Now, I want you to imagine the scene. That the teams, they line up in their positions. They stare into the eyes of their opponents. And the quarterback, he's there and he's yelling these instructions to his team. And all of a sudden, the play starts. The ball comes to the quarterback. Everyone's trying to get to the quarterback to try and tackle him. But the quarterback, he sees the wide receiver open. No one's around him. He's 30 yards from the touchdown area. He throws the ball. And as it's coming towards him, the wide receiver, he's looking. He's going to catch it. No one's around him. He catches the ball. He's nearly there. And he just stops. He just stands there with the ball when he's caught it. Now imagine if you saw this. Imagine if this took place. I mean, you would go, you've just caught the ball. Run with it. Run with it. Run towards the touchdown area. You see, to catch the ball is only the beginning of what a right wide receiver is meant to do. He's meant to continue running with it. And do you know this evening, this passage in Colossians that this guy Paul writes, it's the same call for us here this evening. It's the call for Josh and for Chris this evening as you've taken this step of baptism. The call is, just as you've received Christ, continue to live your lives for him. Just as you've received Christ, continue to live for him. Because you see, for the Christian, receiving Jesus is just the beginning. We're called to continue with what we have received. Just like that wide receiver, catching the ball is only the beginning. He's got to continue on towards that touchdown area. But you see, this book of Colossians that these verses are in, you see, Paul is writing to a church that is standing firm in their faith. We see in verse 5, just before our passage begins, and it says that Paul, he rejoices to see their firmness of faith. At the beginning of this letter, if we started reading it, right at the start, Paul also says that he gives thanks to God because of what he has heard about their faith in Jesus. And so these people that Paul is writing these verses to, they're solid. They're going really well. They're solid, firm, growing Christians. However, Paul, in this letter to the Colossians, well, he gives them a bit of a warning as well through that. He writes to them, he says in verse 4 of chapter 2, he says, he writes that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. And he says after our passage in verse 8, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy. And so, in amongst the encouragement, there's also a warning here from Paul to these firm, solid Christians to be on their guard. And so that's where we find, that's the context of these two verses that we see, verses 6 and 7. And so Paul writes to them, so then, just as you've received Christ, continue to live your lives in him. And I just have two points for us this evening from this passage, just two. And the first one is just as you have received Christ, just as you have received Christ. Now, as we've seen, this book of Colossians, as you've seen, it's got that warning element. Paul's writing to them so that they might not be deceived, they might not be taken captive by these fine-sounding arguments and teaching. And you know, this teaching that seems that Paul is concerned about in this church, well, it seems to be that these people are saying that you need something more than Jesus. That you need to do more things. That you need to experience more things. Just believing in Jesus, it's not quite enough. That's the teaching that is that Paul is warning about. But Paul, in this passage, he reminds them, you have received Christ Jesus. You've received Jesus. And if you've received Jesus, Paul says you've received everything. You've received everything. There's simply no more for you to receive, but because to have Jesus is to have everything. There's some really amazing verses in chapter 1 of this letter in Colossians. And Paul, he describes the glory and majesty of Jesus, who he is. And he says in chapter 1, verse 15, he says this about Jesus. The Son, that is Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Paul says, you have received this Jesus. This Jesus. Josh, Chris, us here this evening have received, I hope we can see, the most glorious, the most amazing person we could ever hope to know. He's our Saviour. But it also says in our little passage, he says, you've received Jesus as Lord. And so there's a way in which we've received Jesus, in that he also becomes our Lord. He becomes our King. That it's not what I say that goes anymore. What Jesus says goes. Not me, it's him. And for Josh and for Chris this evening, you've received Christ Jesus as your Saviour and Lord. You've declared that this evening. It's been wonderful. And as you declare your love for Jesus, as we trust this Jesus, well, let us be so immensely encouraged that by receiving Jesus Christ as Lord, we have received everything we could possibly want. Just as you've received Christ. That's the first thing we see. But the second thing is, just as we've received Christ, the second thing, continue to live for Christ. Continue to live for Christ. I'm just going to read those verses out again. He says, so then, just as you've received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you are taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. And so we see here, it's not enough for us just to receive Christ. We have to continue to live our lives in him. Just like that wide receiver when he catches the ball. It's not enough for him just to catch it. He has to continue. And these verses tell us just four things that I shortly want to say about what it means to continue living in Christ, to continue walking in him. And the first one we see is be rooted in him. Be rooted. It says continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him. That word rooted, it's a word which shows that you're fixing your position. You're not moving. You said, this is my foundation. And Paul says, let your roots be in Jesus. Let it be founded on Jesus. Because Paul, remember, he saw the danger for these Colossians in moving away from Jesus, in letting other things be their hope, be their foundation, be the thing that they rely on, and letting the things that they do, on letting the things that they experience be their hope. Paul says no. Paul says continue to live in Christ by being rooted in him. By being rooted in what he's done. Knowing that only his death and his resurrection are we saved. Not through our works, as we heard this morning in Ephesians. Don't move away from Jesus. Be rooted. The second and third thing we see is being built up and strengthened. Built up and strengthened. It says, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught. And so Paul, he goes on to use this analogy of a building. And so having told these Colossians to let their roots, let their foundation be on Christ, well, Paul says be built up in him as well. Paul says we should build on that foundation. And what it means by building, being built up in him, is letting everything about who Jesus is, about what he has done, shape everything in our lives. Being built up means we let it shape everything that we think, everything that we do. And so when I know the love that Jesus has for me, well, I let that love shape the way in which I love others, in which I love the church family. Because I know that Jesus has given everything for me, well, I let that shape the way I give everything for him. Because I know that Jesus was humble enough to serve me, well, I let that shape the way in which I serve him and I serve others. Because I know how much Jesus has forgiven me, well, I let that shape the way in which I forgive others. We continue to build on what Jesus has done. We build on that foundation. We continue to build. We apply what the gospel means. And we strengthen our faith. We're not settled. We're not content with the understanding that we have. We yearn to know more and more. We long to look at his word and know more about this incredible God. We strengthen our faith. We let this shape everything we do. Being built up and strengthened. And the last thing we see is overflowing with thankfulness. You see, the result of all of this, the result of letting our roots being built up and being strengthened in our faith, well, it's overflowing with thankfulness. Because you see, when we see more and more of what Jesus has done for us, the wonders, you know, Chris and Josh, they were sharing the wonders of what Jesus has done for them, when we see that more and more, well, we become overwhelmed with thankfulness. We have thankful hearts. Just think about what Jesus has done. In fact, Paul already in this little letter, he's already told these Colossians what to give thanks for. In chapter 1, verse 12, he says, giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. What has Jesus done? What do we have to be thankful for? He's rescued us. He's rescued us from darkness to light. He's rescued us from our sin to forgiveness. And it almost has this tale of two kingdoms. How once we lived in this kingdom of darkness, we didn't know God. We were cut off from him. We were rebelling against him in our hearts. We lived in that kingdom. But the good news, it says, what Jesus has done is he's changed our address. He's changed our address from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. He opens up those gates. He welcomes those who come to him in, and he forgives them. He shows mercy to them. The mercy and the forgiveness that Chris and Josh have spoken about this evening. This all comes when we come to Christ. Now, if that is not something to celebrate or to give thanks for, then I don't know what is. It doesn't just say we become people who give thanks. It says we become people who overflow with thanksgiving. Christians are people who can't help but thank God for what he's done. We overflow with thankfulness. That's the message we've heard, isn't it, this evening from Josh and Chris. Well, Josh and Chris, we rejoice this evening. We rejoice to see that you both have received Christ as your Lord and your Saviour. And while Paul, he encourages us, all of us who have received Christ, having received, we now continue. We continue wanting to be rooted, built up, strengthened, overflowing with thankfulness. A whole life shaped and moulded around what Jesus has done. But you know, maybe this evening you're here and maybe you haven't even received yet. Maybe you haven't received this Jesus that has been spoken about this evening. Maybe you haven't received what Jesus offers those who come to him without cost. The forgiveness of sins. The Holy Spirit, the hope of eternal life with him and not without him. And maybe you'd like to take that step this evening. Maybe you've heard from Chris and from Josh, you've heard their testimony, and you say, I want to follow Jesus as they have done. Well, if you would like to receive Jesus this evening, then please come, speak to me, speak to Phil. After the service, we'd love to speak more about what it means, how you can receive what Jesus longs to give you this evening. Or maybe you'd like to know more. Maybe you'd like to know more about who this Jesus is. Well, do you know, I have good news, because there is a great event coming up. It's called Christianity Explored. It's happening in a few months' time. And you know, I'd really challenge you to come along and see for yourself this person, Jesus. Examine the evidence for yourself, this life of this person, Jesus. And it's a chance for you to ask your questions. There's flyers at the back. Come and speak to me and Phil if you're interested in that. Well, let me just read out that verse one more time. So then, just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him. rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you are taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Let's pursue that. Let's pursue that, to continue in him, to live our lives for him, overflowing with thankfulness. Amen. Well, I'm just going to pray. And is there a final? I think there's a final. Yeah, there is a final song. Yeah, that's good stuff. Yes, there is a final. Yes, got right here. Let me just pray, and then we'll have our final song. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you this evening. We thank you so much that you are our Saviour. That we were hopeless. We were so stuck in our sin. We were so far away from you, but you, our Saviour, have rescued us. You have changed our address from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. You've washed away all our sins. We are clean. Though we are guilty, we are made not guilty. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you so much. We thank you for the faith of Josh and for Chris and what they have shared this evening, how they have received you. And we pray, Lord, for Josh and for Chris and for all of us here this evening, that we would not just receive, but we would continue to live our lives for you. We would hide none of our lives away from you, but we would live every day for your glory, for your honour. Oh, Father, help us see how amazing you are, how real you are, how much of a great God you are. We pray all of this in your holy name. Amen. Well, Jesus is incredible. And we are going to sing a song that tells us that. And we can praise our Saviour together. It's the splendour of the King. And so let's overflow with thankfulness together now as we sing and we praise our Lord and Saviour. Let's stand and sing the splendour of the King.
Majesty, where's all the earth rejoice, all the earth.
take a seat. And there are refreshments in the back hall. We'll just, if you could give us a few seconds just to get the cover back on the baptismal pool, that would be really great. Little people, if you could move back away from the baptismal pool, that'd be good, so they can do that. So just give us a second, have a chat amongst yourselves. Thank you so much for coming. And if you, as we said, if you want to find out more about what makes these guys tick, there's a lot of literature at the back. Just grab some on your way out, have a read, and ask some questions. We love questions. Do keep asking. Brilliant. Thank you ever so much.